Hi, I'm Dave Laskowski, Group President of the Printing Impressions Publishing Group, and I'm pleased to welcome you to today's live webinar, How to Prospect for Profitable Digital and Variable Data Printing Clients, presented by Printing Impressions and sponsored by Osei, a Canon company. Before we get started, let me point out a few tips on how to make the most of today's live webinar. First, if you have any technical difficulties, troubleshoot by clicking on the Help button at the bottom of the console or let us know via the Ask a Question box. Second, make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can see and take part in any interactive portions of today's presentation. If you're enjoying this webinar and would like to spread the word to your peers, you can send an email invitation directly from the console by clicking the Invite a Colleague button. And we also welcome your feedback at any time during the hour by clicking the Survey button. This survey will also be distributed at the end of today's webinar. Today's speakers will be answering select questions live at the end of their presentation. To ask a question, simply use the Ask a Question feature on the console to submit your questions for review. If you leave the presentation at any time, you can access the entire webinar on demand for the next 90 days via the same link you used to watch the presentation today. After that time, the webinar can be viewed from the Printing Impressions website at www.piworld.com/webinar. And finally, we encourage you to tweet about today's webinar. When doing so, please remember to use the hashtag #PIGWebinar. And I'm very excited to introduce our speakers today. Both Bill Farquharson and Kelly Malozzi are perfect for this topic, not only because they pitched it to me, but because they've walked in your shoes. They are both sales professionals who have dealt with the same challenges and objections that you face day in and day out. And I'm confident that each of you will be able to take home practical advice that you can put into play immediately to help drive more sales. So, Bill, Kelly, the floor is yours.
Excellent. Thank you, Dave. Hi, Kelly. How are you?
Hi, Bill. Doing great. How are you?
I am doing well, thank you. We're hitting the big stage today, huh?
No doubt.
Today, we are going to be talking about a subject that is near and dear, as Dave said, to our heart. Kelly and I have got vast experience of talking on this subject, but moreover, selling it. In fact, that's how Kelly met, and with Kelly and I met, she was a client of mine who was working for a digital and variable data printing company out there in the Midwest, in the Chicago area. And I remember from the first time I spoke with her, I said, yep, she gets it. And Kelly, that was what, 8 years ago, 9 years ago?
Yeah, it was probably about 7 or 8, yeah.
7 or 8 years ago, yeah, sure. And Kelly is, I'll let her give her own intro here, but she's someone that I stayed in touch with for a lot of reasons, and she and I do some work together. We do a number of webinars, but today this is something that we have been asked to do by our friends at Printing Impressions and Osei, so thank you to the both of them. We are going to cover a lot of ground today. There's the agenda that you are looking at right there. There's a lot of, because we've been selling digital and variable for so long, I think we can really straighten out some myths and realities. As Kelly and I were talking about how to put this together, we said, you know what, there's a step that comes before answering the question where you look, and that is going to precede that conversation. So we've also pointed out that, you know, you really need to understand, if you're a manager, why your sales rep doesn't want to sell digital and variable. I've never, ever heard a vendor stand up and say, this is why your print salespeople won't want to sell this. But they don't. But we'll tell you how to get around that and so you understand it. There are two huge concepts that we are going to cover today. Then we'll talk about exactly that, where to look for prospects, and give you some different resources, and then we'll talk about what comes after this, because this is a series of standalone webinars on the subject of digital and variable. As Dave said, we'll be talking about some Q&A issues as well. So with that, I would like to introduce my friend Kelly Malozzi out in Chicago. Kelly?
Thanks, Bill, and thanks, everybody, for joining us today. As Bill mentioned, my name is Kelly Malazzi. The name of my company is Success in Print, and I got started selling digital printing back in the early 90s and worked for a number of small and large companies and then went to work for an equipment manufacturer selling production equipment to commercial printers. So Bill likes to say that makes me versatile because I've been on kind of both sides of the equation. And about a year and a half ago, I had twin girls, and so I started my own company. And so that's how I came to work with Bill, is that I do a lot of marketing and sales consulting and this webinar series that Bill and I have put together. So thank you very much, Bill. And why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
My background is somewhat similar. I started with UARCO Business Forms. I was professionally trained as a sales rep. I became a print broker in 1986 when I was 25 years old. About 5 years later, I was approached by a buyer who said, "Bill, do you sell any binders?" And, of course, we were taught to never say no. And even though I did not sell binders, I said, "Sure, yeah, sell binders. What do you put in them?" And that question led me to digital printing. And I remember the very early days of the low-lying fruit and all the money we used to make just walking in, just wiping out rooms of documents. I became a trainer when I was asked by an equipment manufacturer to write their training curriculum. And along the way, I ran across my old friend Francis McMahon, who is now with OSE. I'm happy to hear. I've had a storied past on the teaching end of it, having also sold digital and variable. So that has been my background. Currently, I've got some training programs for the print industry that can be found at my website, which is justicefire4.com. Now, as I said, Kelly and I go way back. This is, if you take it all the way back, I guess it'd be back to 1990 is when I first started selling digital. And I mentioned that I sold for UARCO Business Forms. UARCO had a sales motto, and the sales motto was that first bullet point that you're looking at: solve the problem, earn the order. And I love that because I really think that speaks to the subject of digital print: solve the problem. When digital was first put out there, there was a lot of pie charts and graphs and promises. And, of course, the pie chart went and the graph went up every year. Look at the potential. And I think it was sold to us like the emperor's new clothes. A lot of people looked at it and said, "Wow, this is going to be awesome. This is going to be awesome." Everybody geared up and bought all the equipment. Problem was that the promises that were made were a little bit of a stretch. So we tried to pull people back to reality and say, "Listen, digital solves the problem. Digital print is like vitamin E." When they first discovered vitamin E, they called it the cure looking for a disease. I remember reading about that in food science and nutrition course I took years ago. Vitamin E was very much reminds me of digital print. It was a cure looking for a disease. If you haven't gotten into it yet, I can tell you that if you are solutions-based, if you walk in, you get introduced at the design stage of the job, you're going to have no trouble selling digital. If you're all about price, you're going to have a lot of trouble selling digital. Digital is not about price. Digital is about a new solution. Now, one of the key concepts that I want you to get out of this is that third bullet point right there, the new definition of the loyal customer. I'm 50 years old. When I broke into the forms industry back in 1982, we were told, "You know what, Bill, when you get the order, the reorder's yours, because if you own the negatives, you own the plates, you own the customer. They're going to be loyal to you." Well, customer loyalty is something that you now Google because you don't know. The young people don't know what it is, and us old guys don't remember what it was. You know, it's loyal customer is long gone, except for digital and variable. We have a chance now to redefine the loyal customer. And to me, the loyal customer comes down to three things. It's the file, it's the file, it's the file. If you own the file, you own the customer. I'm going to give an example of this a little later on. That's one of the key things that I want you to get out of today. Know also that this is not a quick turn, that there's no such thing as a quick, profitable sale. Like I said, back in the early 90s, when we were selling this stuff, there were quick, profitable sales. We could walk in. I was like shooting ducks in a barrel, saying, "Look, We can put everything on disk. We can print right from it. Boom, gone. Have a nice day. That was awesome. Those were fantastic days. We were making a lot of money at it. Those days are gone. The change that has to be made, and this is not just for digital and variable, but it's exposed even more in digital and variable, is that you've got to get out of the habit of selling print. You've got to get into the habit of being a business growth strategist, of somebody who is a marketing specialist. And you're going to hear that theme, and you'll see it in some of the observations that we give. So if I haven't depressed you enough, then I'll let Kelly depress you even further. But there is a silver lining. Kelly?
So there are some more harsh realities, and this really is just about acknowledging what the state of the union is today so that we can really approach it, from the right perspective. And that is that there really is no untapped market for digital. And what that means, though, is that we just need to understand how our customers are using their documents today and meet with them on an individual basis, understand what those applications are, identify what the potential is within the accounts, and then talk to the customers about it, educate them, train them on it, and show them how you can solve their problems, as Bill mentioned earlier. So it's not necessarily bad news. It's really just a different way of looking at things, that we have to approach the way we talk to our prospects and our customers. We just have to change the way we talk. So instead of, can I talk to the person who buys your printing, you want to think about how can the products and services that I provide help my customers solve their problems and reach their goals? How can I help them sell more? How can I help them launch their products? So it's really a paradigm shift. It's really a shifting in the way we think. So another thing to acknowledge as we're talking to these customers is that they may not really know what kind of shape their databases are in. They may not have databases, or they might be really, really bad databases. The good example to take there is your own mailbox. If you are, a 30-year-old man and you're getting coupons for formula, you know that whoever's sending that to you has really bad data, and that should be an opportunity. You should be looking at it as an opportunity to go and talk to those people about how you can help them. So another good way to educate yourself as it pertains to data is finding out how to be a good data provider, knowing, to partner up with an InfoUSA or somebody like that, so you can come to those customers and say, I know how to help you find your customers. I know how to help you improve these processes. Because, again, everything that we've been saying up to this point is leading to this point, that you have to stop selling printing. That we talk about, approaching everything the way we talk to people is, I want to help you sell more. I want to help you solve your problems. I want to help you reach your goals. And you'll notice that you're not even beginning to even say the word printing in those conversations, because you're approaching it from the perspective of a growth strategist, of somebody who understands them and knows how to help them improve things. So that to me is not really necessarily harsh. It's really just more the way that it is. Now, this next particular point is a little bit harsh, and it is that it takes longer. I remember when I first started selling, again, back in the early 90s, sometimes you walked into an account and walked out with an order. Sometimes you just happened to have the great timing and be in the right place at the right time, and you would walk away with work. Well, the selling cycle is longer because, again, you're trying to figure out who are the right people within the organization to talk to, what are their problems, and what solution do I have that solves that problem. So it does take a little bit longer. And the education, conveying what you know about digital and how that applies to them and their lives is really a one-on-one opportunity. Would it be a great idea to have some sort of an open house and have a speaker and invite a lot of your customers in to talk about those things? Absolutely. But really, we're establishing relationships and credibility with our customers one at a time in, how to make this all more successful for you as the printer and them as the customer.
So, Kelly, I remember years ago I had a client in Cambridge, Massachusetts, called TechnoMed. I did a lot of their medical reprints. They had this huge room where the sales reps used to go, and they used to pick off the different reprints as articles, and they'd stick them in this folder, and they'd go out, they'd make their sales calls. Well, I can't remember why, but they stopped doing business in the United States, and they left. 2 years later, and I was on my way to the airport, and 2 years later, I got a phone call, and they said, hey, it's us, we're back. They were based in Lyon, France. They said, we're back. We want to come talk to you about getting some more reprints done. Well, in that 2-year time period, everything changed in the print industry. I'll never forget this. So I said, look, I said, I've got a flight at 5 o'clock. I'll get out there at 1. In Cambridge, Mass., it's just one-way street out to one-way street, so you have to allow yourself a ton of time. So I went out there, and I made a sales call on them, and they said, you know, the day we left, we remember throwing out tons and tons of paper. We felt badly. But I said, look, here is everything that we need. And it was something like 45 different reprints, and these were they went from 1117 right up to 64-page saddle stitched, and then they wanted a compendium book of all of them. So I talked to them about digital and the benefits of it, and finished the call, got on an airplane, and flew off. And that night I called and I was speaking to my wife, and she said, yeah, how'd your day go? And I told her, oh, interesting thing happened. I told her the story. And she said, hold on a second. My wife is very funny. She said, hold on a second. She said, instead of reprinting all of those things in quantities of 5,000 and 10,000, you're going to reprint them in hundreds to 250s. I said, right. She said, you're an idiot. I said, well, why this time? And she said, you know, that's a lot of profit. She said, I could have redone the living room with all the money you could have made on that. And I said, yeah, but you know what? This is a great opportunity for something different because I will end up probably doing about $95,000 worth of work with them. It's going to be higher margin work, but they're going to have a lot more flexibility. They're now going to be able to print in different parts of the country. We'll be able to send a file around. And the profit level was about 2.5 times what I would have gotten as a commercial printer. So she loved me again.
Yep.
But to really get to the question, why bother? You know, that's all the negative, why bother? That was really her point. Why bother? Why would you do that? My first comment was, because if I don't, somebody else will. But, you know, it's why do you get into this? Well, certainly there's more profit. But I want to have that customer loyalty. One of the first speaking engagements I ever went on, we were touring the country. And there was a couple people that came before me. One would go out and do the evangelistic thing. And one would give kind of the vendor viewpoint. And then there was this guy named Bob Kakak. I'm probably misspelling his name. Bob, if you're on the line right now, call me. I apologize. But Bob was amazing. Bob was an actual user. And Bob would get up there. And we each had like 20, 25 minutes. Bob would get up there, and he would show these websites of basically storefront before anybody did storefront. And he would say, you know, the clients get online and they choose what they want, and it comes to us in the service center, and we click it, and we create this piece, and we send it within 24 hours. It's customized, blah, blah, blah. And I'd get up there, and like very first thing I would say after he exited and I was introduced, I'd say, who wants to be Bob Takak's competition? I mean, seriously, if you walked into that company and you said, yeah, we're printers, we can print that, they'd look at the website and say, yeah, but could you do that? And you'd say no. And I'd say, well, goodbye. So Bob was making money coming and going on that thing. He did a phenomenal job of locking up the customer. There's customer loyalty. That step alone is why you should really investigate the right prospects for digital and variable. The other thing I found, and Kelly, feel free to comment on this, but I know that once my clients went down that road of digital, they started thinking in digital terms. Did you find that?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the opposite is actually true, too, Bill. You know, sometimes leading with the digital actually kind of feeds the commercial print machine, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because once you're in the door, then all these other things begin to reveal themselves. So it actually it feeds all the machines on your floor, which is great news.
Oh, there's lots of benefits, that being one of them. The other thing is that, you know, you're brought in at the design stage of the job, not at the quote stage. You're moving way up the food chain.
Yep.
So now you're not a print sales rep anymore. You're a problem solver. People call and they say, and I've given, I mean, dozens of speeches, hundreds of speeches on digital. And sometimes we get to do them in front of customers. And you'll be talking to a customer, and it's like they're daydreaming. I remember, never forget the first time this happened to me. I was in Bay City, Michigan, talking to a group, and it's like they're looking everywhere. I'm thinking, God, these people hate me. And the client said, no, it's not that they didn't like you, Bill. They were just internalizing everything that you were saying. Well, I saw the guy about a month later at the On Demand show. He said, our phone's been ringing off the hook. You stimulated the creativity, and now people are coming to us with applications that we hadn't even thought of. Now, if you're a sales rep out there and you're thinking, okay, so why bother? One thing I want to tell you firsthand is your hard work is all up front. As time goes on and the jobs come in, you find out about them either when you get the PO or when they show up on your commission check. And I mean, yeah, I can speak to this firsthand. It was amazing to me how technically linked my company was with my clients. That was amazing to me. I'm up there, I'm making all this pitch for digital, but once it got going, the jobs would just come in. We'd flip the computer on, boy, there'd be two or three orders, and I didn't even know about any of that stuff. Kelly, anything else you can think of from a why bother standpoint?
No, I think you did a great job of covering all that. I mean, there are a lot of great examples, and I think we've all come across those opportunities where, you know, we ended up filling two dumpsters full of, full with printed material and still ended up billing about 75% more that next year because there were just so many other opportunities, and it just made everything more efficient and, again, locked us into like a 5 or 10 year contract with them. So there are many, many reasons why it's a really good idea. But what we really want to focus on, even before we talk about where would we find these customers, is knowing what to look for. What does an application look like? They may not be all that obvious, so we really want to make sure that we understand who are the kinds of customers that would have a need for digital or variable. So, again, this probably isn't the first time you're hearing this, but it's people that their information might change on a fairly regular basis. They're trying to communicate with their customers on a one-to-one basis, and we've got some really good examples to look at later and how much more impactful those things are. And really, the thing that I really like to think about when I talk about what to look for is a question like, what if? You're with a prospect, you're talking with them about what they want to accomplish with their printed materials and what is the purpose of it. What if we could dot, dot, dot? And that's what really starts to get people excited and differentiates you from all the other printers out there is, wow, this person's coming to me with ideas and they're telling me I have all this opportunity to do things differently. You know, what if we could communicate with them on a one-to-one basis, put their name all over it, use some live data to really speak to people on an individual basis, and people get really excited about that. And again, we always say refer back to your own mailbox and compare how you feel about a piece that's just, you know, you can tell they printed 7 million and it's from AT&T versus something that's got your name on it. Hey, Bill, thanks for coming in last week, you know, that kind of thing. So really, again, understanding what the applications are and who those customers might be that need those applications, who they are, and who they're not. And I think, Bill, are you going to go ahead and talk about I think the next thing we're going to do is talk about an example.
Yeah, you know, what I was doing is I was jotting some stuff down here, Kelly, that you reminded me of. You know, knowing what to look for, of course, we're saying it's a lot more, which comes before knowing where to look. You know, there's also some cues. If you're talking to a customer, suppose you're talking to a customer about some new printed piece, and the customer, you say, well, what kind of quantity are you looking for? And they say, I don't know. Those simple words, I don't know, should be a cue for you that maybe this is a digital application. Maybe you run a smaller quantity and see how it goes. What if the client said, you know what, Kelly, our product and service, they're not for everyone. What Kelly would hear is target market.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe it's a different message to a different group. That's a buying signal. Or maybe they say something like, it changes frequently. Well, then you want to run down to the warehouse manager and say, how much of this printed material do you throw out? That's a buying cue as well. And finally, if the client says something like, you know, with our technical data, our clients just don't understand, and we get a lot of calls into our customer support service. Or maybe it's just outdated information. Where, again, that's a buying cue. So that's another thing that you're going to have to look for and listen for. These are all subtle little things. I'm a real believer that a lot of the digital applications are ones that you see in your everyday life. This is a 15-year-old piece. My oldest daughter, Katie, just turned 21. When she was – actually, 16-year-old old now. That was 1995. We took Katie to Discovery Zones. Now, Discovery Zones, if you don't know, these are like little playgroups, like little Chuck E. Cheese without the bad food. You know, it's just playgroups, just ball things that you jump in, and it was a place where kids went and swapped bacteria. So we walked in, and I remember seeing Katie signing something, I leaned over, and they were asking Katie for her name and her address and her phone number and things like that. And a year later, this piece came in the mail. If you can't read it, it says Catherine. That's before, by the way, she became Katie with an I, with a heart over the I. Catherine, celebrate your birthday with Barbie. And it says, you know what, Katie? It says, tell your mom and dad you want to have a Barbie birthday at Discovery Zone. To this day, my daughter's never seen this. We put it out of the mail because we already had something planned. But this was a really early application. In fact, she was a Z-O-N-E right there, Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
I bet a QR code would go there very nicely right
there
now.
There you go. Absolutely.
But that was, hell, that was 15 years ago, right? And there's somebody who really put some thought into it. If we can, and it's like the old joke, how many birthdays does the average person have? One a year. So there's somebody who was putting some thought. They had printed up some shells of color, and they had run it black and white variable on the other side. And it was a very compelling piece sent directly to the child. Very, very sharp. This is exactly what we're talking about, where Kelly and I say, this is how you identify applications. Ask those questions, look, as Kelly said, in your own mailbox. This concept, this 20-to-1 ratio, is a huge, huge, a hugely important concept. Kelly, you want to run through this?
Most definitely. And this is really, really important, again, as we shift our thinking from what is my price per thousand on these postcards to, again, understanding everything about what the purpose of the piece is, how it's created, how it's used, how it's stored. And this is actually some solid research. I can't remember where Bill got this, but for every dollar that is spent on the printed piece, another $20 is spent using it. So basically, again, that means that how it's being sent, everything about the creation of this piece means that there's a lot more to it than just your price per thousand. And that's, again, where we really want to focus as we shift from a print salesperson to a marketing consultant, is being able to either, and this is the really big concept that is what we say to all of our customers, is my focus is going to be either reducing the usage cost of your piece or increasing its value. So that last thing that we just looked at with that with the birthday with Katie's name on it, the good example there would be, let's say if that were just a static piece and they got a 0.5% return on that. But because her name was on it, maybe the response rate was more like 5 or 6%. That makes the worth of each one of those postcards that they sent out that much higher. So it brings more value. So the conversation shifts from what did this piece cost to print to what did this piece generate? How much money did each of these generate? And I told Bill a story yesterday. We got a postcard in the mail that was from a personalized apparel house, and because of it, we placed a $275 order for the whole family and my whole extended family to get these Malazzi family pizza parlor shirts made up for the big reunion that we're having next month. And so I thought, that's a great example. That piece probably cost them $2 or $3 to produce and send, but they generated, just on my response alone, $275 in revenue. So again, that's a really, really important distinction and a difference in the approach that you use from the old way of what does it cost to the new way of what is it worth. And Bill, I'm just going to stop real quick because there's been a couple of questions that have been asked.
Yeah,
and one of them from Phil, I think, is a really interesting one because it's a very common, kind of barrier or kind of mindset that management and owners have, is that my guys don't want to sell this. They don't have the right traits. They don't have the right characteristics. And it's a great question, Phil. Do you see common characteristics or traits of a rep who can sell digital versus one who can't? Or can all the good form sales reps also be good digital sales reps? Bill, do you want to take a crack at that first, and then I'll give...
I tell you what, I was looking at that, Kelly, as you were talking, and I think it's an excellent question, and here's my answers. You know, I think that the good digital rep is the creative rep, someone who sees a printed piece as only one solution, somebody who is the Lieutenant Columbo, if I can date myself, the Lieutenant Columbo of sales, that walks in and really wants to learn the story behind the printed piece and asks good qualifying questions. That would be my number two, you know, ask good qualifying questions. The third thing is that they're properly compensated to sell digital. These are, you know, we talk about why the sales rep doesn't want to sell digital printing necessarily. Well, if this was a national sales call and I was introducing my brand new equipment, brand new digital equipment, and I was the manager, and my conversation went something like this: "Gang, we're really excited to have this piece of equipment. Let me tell you a little bit about digital printing, okay? According to Bill Farquharson and Kelly Malazzi, it's a longer selling cycle. We're going to be selling to somebody that is outside of our comfort zone. The orders are smaller. The compensation dollar is smaller. It's a more complicated sale, so we're going to feel uncomfortable. Who's with me?" Now, that's the motivational speech, for crying out loud. You know, that's part of the problem. So proper compensation is huge. Kelly, what would you add to that question?
I think it's really about being open. I really think it's about understanding that this, you know, in many ways is the new reality. And not that digital is taking over the world. Commercial printing is always going to be there and is always going to be successful for those of us who are good at it. But it really is a way to open up the world to a lot of new opportunities, to have and learn something new, certainly, and to have conversations with people on a very different, a different plane, and again, offer a lot of different things to customers that you may not have had things to offer to them before. And again, looking at it from the back end, these digital opportunities do absolutely lead to commercial opportunities too. So it's really it's very full circle, I think. And Glenn actually mentioned that the compensation is part of the tricky part. So, Bill, I know you addressed that, and that's something that we always encourage managers and owners to think about, is to change up the compensation when it comes to digital opportunities to try to make them more attractive to their reps.
And I believe that you and I are going to be at Graph Expo this fall talking on that very topic.
That's right.
If I recall.
That's right.
That asks for examples in the 20-to-1 ratio. And basically, again, for every dollar your client spends on any given printed piece, they spend $20 using it. And those are things like when someone calls, a sales rep calls from Seattle, calls in and says, "Hey, I need to get a box of that printed stuff FedEx to me for a trade show tomorrow." The cost of FedEx doesn't show up on the printed PO, but it is included in that 20-to-1 ratio. If, let's see, what do they say, like 33% of all printed matter is waste and gets thrown out, that goes into that $20 area. You know, if you print up a large quantity, you have to house it, you have to warehouse it, you have to store it, you've got to insure it.
Distribute it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, distribute it. Any time, every single penny that is spent from the time that job comes in through receiving until the time it goes out the door or through the shredder, that goes into that $20 area. So that's what we're talking about. And that's a great way of differentiating yourself, by the way, too, is to talk about the cost of using the document. Now, the other key concept here, gang, where does digital fit? This is very important for you to understand, because none of this matters. I mean none of the knowing where to look for prospects, none of that matters until you figure this stuff out. Where does it fit? In my view, it comes down to two things: that I believe that digital and variable are good fits if they reduce the usage cost of the document or increase the value. The usage cost of the document is the $20 area. Everything that we just talked about, every penny that is spent. And if your digital variable data print application reduces the usage cost of the document, then it's a good application and you will make a sale. And I'll give you a good example. Years ago, there was a client of mine in Chicago who said that, he said, "I cannot break into this huge account. They swear to me they're getting the best possible price on their printed matter." So we went in and did a study, and we looked to figure out exactly what I mentioned before, that there were salespeople calling the warehouse manager from all over the country saying, "FedEx me this, FedEx me that." And here's the good news. What happened was we ended up going back to the buyer and saying, "Here's what you spent on shipping alone last year. So how about if we do this? How about if we find vendors that have the proper digital equipment all over the country, and we just send them the electronic file so they can print the piece locally and ship it for free, and it can be there the same day if necessary." Now, I mentioned the good news. The good news was that the printed price went up, that the sales rep was actually able to demand a higher dollar because he proved to the customer that the 20-to-1 ratio, he said, "Look, I can save you, let's say I can save you 10% on either side of the equation. Where do you want to save the 10%? The client said, "Obviously, I want to save it on the $20. He said, "Fine." But the $1 area goes up. Client said, "That's fine, because you're saving me more on the other side. So it fits in one of those two areas. But see, this gets back to that selling shift that we talk about. You have to have this kind of thinking in order to make it work. That gets back to Matt's question. Kelly, anything to add on either of these two concepts before we show some more examples?
No, I think the next example is a good way to illustrate this too.
Yeah, this is a fun one. And one of the things you'll notice, by the way, a lot of these applications that the guys like Kelly and I show, are older. That's the reason why is that people hold their solutions very close to the vest. Here's one that came up a few years ago. Build-A-Bear, if you don't know, is a huge company. It's funny, when I first started talking about this presentation, this application, they were a $461 million company. Now they're down to $387, but they have grown in stores. This is tremendous. That's the woman who founded it. Her name is Maxine Clark, and she calls herself the chief executive bear. Well, a gentleman by the name of Aaron Groves from Consolidated Graphics walks in the door with his three sons at the Sugarland Mall in Houston. And he says, the kids are going around, they're making something for their mom. And they're, Aaron's following them. And if you don't know what Build-A-Bear is, just think $70 future yard sale item, and that'll be pretty much, I shouldn't say that. Kelly, how many of those beautiful things do you have?
No, I don't have any yet, thankfully.
Well, that's smart. So anyway, so he walks in, and just as they were done, the woman pulled the boys over to the kiosk and says, boys, give me some information on you. And Aaron watched as this worker collected home information on the boys, with Dad's permission, of course. Well, Dad got his wheels turning. So what he did was he took a picture on Christmas morning. He took a picture of the boys delivering Carl the giraffe, and he hands it off to they hand it off to the mother, and Aaron takes the picture, and then he takes this letter. And he FedExes it to Maxine Clark. And, of course, he can't read the whole letter. But basically he says in this thing, how cool would it be to send my boys a personal piece in the mail talking about Carl and his new home? Maybe we can entice the boys to come back to the Sugarland Mall, maybe the next time they're there, to pick up an accessory or two. Two business days later, this email came back to him. He said, thank you. She said, thank you very much, Aaron. I want to give you the names of two people for you to talk to, and I'm sure what we could do better you can help us with. And here's the kicker. This blew me away. We have a very robust database of over 14 million households. It's the file. It's the file. It's the file. 14 million households. Part of your goal in digital print has to be that you are technically superior to your competition. Here's another real quick one. This was a gentleman who had read a letter about a company in the Chicago area called AllScripts. And this company had said, you know what, we're trying to get our customers to finish their medicine, and they're not. And as a result, they're getting sick, and we've got to do something about that. You read this article, and he sent a letter off to the customer that said that the guy in the article and said, we can help. This is something that we can do something with. Let's take the data. Let's send out some personalized information. Of course, there's some HIPAA laws that were in there, but it's a good example. This is the kind of thing that I think you have to understand in order to sell digital. One last one that I'll give it back to you, Kelly, and that is to – this was an application from the University of Wisconsin up in Madison. They were looking to fill seats at a night course. It's a two-year course in the School of Banking. So what the printer did was he printed up 6,500 four-color brochures, and they sent it off to influencers. These were people in the banking industry, encouraging them to send the names of any potential people that would be interested in this banking course, and send them off to the 800 number or to a website. And then once they collected the 1,000 names, they used a digital press to kick out this piece. And, of course, here's the T-shirt that says, even the pros go back to training camp. The result was they had an 82% increase in class attendance. Nice thing about that is it's a great vertical that can be repeated again and again and again. So, Kelly, we're finally there. Where do we look for digital and variable data printing prospects?
Well, if I was going to give you all some homework and say, you know, here's what to do with everything that we've just talked about, is to, you know, really think about your existing customers that you're working with today and think about what sorts of applications, what sorts of needs, what sorts of goals do they have that might fit with some of these ideas that we've talked about. So the easiest sale, most definitely, is people that you already know, that you're already comfortable with, and that you can have kind of that exploratory conversation, that what if conversation. You know, so I would absolutely advocate going to current customers and talking about what they're trying to accomplish and what if you could help them with some of these sorts of things. That is absolutely positively the first place that I would start. When it comes to brand new opportunities and, you know, kind of going cold from the very beginning, I'm a big believer in staying within the areas that you're familiar with and that you know. For example, I at one point was a very avid cyclist, so when I went to work for a company that had a really great and very robust web-to-print and variable data program solution, I contacted all the manufacturers of all the bicycles and talked to them about what kinds of ideas I had. And again, that's the way I sold it. I have ideas that I want to share with you about how to increase your return on customer, the share of wallet. You know, those are the kinds of marketing concepts that you need to get familiar with, because my point was I spent, you know, $1,600 on a bicycle and never heard from Specialized again. And I'm thinking, what does that tell me? There's an opportunity for them to communicate, for the retailer to communicate, and for the manufacturer to communicate about upgrading my bike, tuning up my bike, accessories, apparel, things like that. So I, you know, my contact with them was about asking questions about how they do those things. How do you communicate with your customers, and what kinds of programs do you have in place to, you know, to maintain those relationships? And that got some of them. I had really great success with that because I knew the lingo. I could say, I rode in this race, and I took my bike here, and I took my bike there. It bought me instant credibility, and I was very, very comfortable talking in that space. So I would say to all of you, whatever you like to do, whatever you're comfortable doing, those are great places to start. Maybe you like cars. Maybe you like makeup. Maybe you like collectible toy trains. These are really, really great places. And just brainstorm, maybe with your colleagues, about where would all of those opportunities present themselves. Maybe it's with the manufacturers, distributors, retailers, and think about all the ways that you would want to be communicated with and apply those in just that way. In a very similar manner, your mailbox and the mailbox of every person in your plant is an outstanding place to prospect, because I've done this with every single one of my customers. We put a box in the lunchroom and we say, everybody bring in all your junk mail. And then we go through it and we look for pieces that are really good and that fit the three main criteria that we're talking about with successful direct mail, that it has great creative, that it's going to the right person, and that it has an actionable kind of call to action. So those are the things you're looking for when you're looking at them. And if any of those are missing, those are, again, opportunities that you would want to exploit and talk about how you could help them improve the responses, how you could improve the results of those pieces, that you want to have a conversation about why this piece was created and what its results were and what if you could do better. Very, very important. I would absolutely advocate everybody put a box in their lunchroom today. And then another one, and again, we do a whole webinar on this, is reading, staying abreast of all of the everything that's going on in the news, reading the Wall Street Journal, reading, you know, if you're looking for specific customers, using Giga Alerts and you know, news alerts and things like that to really understand kind of where your prospects are showing up in the media, because those are great talking points to use, just as Bill's prior example was about, I read that you're having this problem. Here's how I can help. I want to share some ideas with you. I have some creative insights. Again, this is nothing about I want to sell you printing, but it's I want to help you solve your problems, and I want to help you come up with some new ideas for ways to do things better. So,
Kelly, this is a piece that I got in the mail a couple of years ago, but check this out. This is an investment firm in Boston, and look at that middle line. It says, please place your business card in the enclosed envelope. So they said, we want to send you a publication on subjects of relevant interest to you. Mm-hmm. But all they want is my business card. Now, I looked at that, and I saw opportunity. That's exactly what you're talking about.
Yes.
Junk mail. But I'm thinking to myself, somebody should go to Tucker Anthony and say, why aren't you asking Bill Farquharson what's relevant to him? Wouldn't they love to know that he's got three young girls, which at the time I did? You know, that's three college educations and a minimum of three weddings.
And, you know, again, even thinking more like a marketing strategist, I'm looking at that and I'm going, Pearl. It'd be a great opportunity for a Pearl campaign, a personalized URL where you could ask, you know, direct them to a personal landing page, ask them three questions, and create a whole campaign around those, around the answers that you get to those three questions. It's all personalized, highly relevant, and very, very current and today. I mean, really, really great opportunity right there.
But just as important as to know who it is, you want to know who it isn't. So if you're talking to someone that you know, you're peppering them with questions about a file, and all you're getting back is, I don't know, this is not your customer. You know, you've got somebody who is not technically competent. They are not your customer. And by the way, you know, we had a question just a minute ago saying, you know, my experience is that buyers don't want to give you enough time to do much of anything, never mind they don't really want to talk about digital. Well, certainly that's not the area that we would advise you go talk to. This is someone where this is a subject matter that requires you going to the originator of the document, someone who owns the document, someone in marketing, a product manager, a VP of sales, upper level, C-level. This is a much different sales call. Now, in addition to, again, we'll get back to who they ought to be. And there's a long list here of exactly who we consider the ideal customer to be. One is that they are technically competent. That's a good one. Creative. It's the same answer to the question, what makes up a good sales rep? A good customer for digital is someone who is creative, someone who embraces the concept of the 20-to-1. That whole, you know, I can increase the value of the document. I can lower the usage cost of the document, that kind of thing. If they've got an accurate database, that's a good sign. These are all good issues. These are all good things to think for, to look for. But they're not going to jump up on your lap. There's some, you know, these, again, there are cues and clues. There are hints. But no one's just going to jump up, kiss you on the lips, and say, hey, guess what? I want to talk to you about digital and variable. One of the big untapped resources is a vendor. Go talk to the vendor. The ones that are going to sell you the piece of equipment or the ones that have sold you a piece of equipment. Osei has a fabulous website featuring the incredibly handsome Francis McMahon. It's mypressgo.com, and it's outstanding. A lot of great resources there. If you're a member of a trade association, push back and ask. Look up PODI.org. And, Kelly, you've been on PODI before, in fact, recently. And they've got some old applications to download, right?
There's case studies there that you can read, and those are really, really outstanding because it really starts your brain thinking about what are the opportunities within my own framework of existing customers and prospects. So I absolutely think PODI is fantastic for that stuff.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. We have bloggers that talk about applications and the whole digital issues. And in fact, you stray into it every now and then, don't you?
Yeah.
For PI?
And PI's had some great articles recently about different applications. So I myself read PI every day. So I'm sure all of you do as well. And I'm sure you all read our blogs too. So good stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, I'm just kind of going over some of these questions. We're about to get to Q&A, as a matter of fact. I think we've covered the major ones. We do want to talk a little bit about what is next, what's coming up next in this and the series. The next webinar on this series will be on research. So, okay, great. You've got these prospects. Now what? Now, I think if you ask me what's the single most important skill that a print sales rep could have, it's this one. It's knowing what to say. It's being able to do the research. It's to figure out how to look at a company website and say, is this a good prospect for me? Where does it fit? And how do I create an opening line that gets me away from something that says, I want to talk to you about your print? You know, there's a lot of real fundamentals in this next webinar. Kelly, anything to finish up with before we get started?
I would just reemphasize in this next one, every single customer that I've met with recently or that I'm working with says that this is the biggest problem they have, that they that they don't know what to say. They, you know, in trying to make this shift, you know, into being a problem solver and an idea person and things like that, they just don't know how to craft their opening lines. And this webinar absolutely positively addresses that spot on. So it's, you know, we hope all of you will join us for that one as well.
And we are going to give you live examples for that. So, well, thank you, everyone. Thank you, Kelly. Dave, you come back on and handle the Q&A?
Sure, and I think thank you very much, guys. I think you did a phenomenal job. We had a bunch of questions that came in. Going back to the resources real quick, you know, you mentioned the Printing Impressions website, but I would also direct everybody to our sister publications. We have a lot of publications in the direct marketing space, Target Marketing, mag.com, Fundraising Success, mag.com, and then directmarketingiq.com. are all resources for the marketing community that are discussing the exact same issues that we're discussing now, discussing pearls, QR codes, variable data printing, and you'll get a lot of insights direct from the marketing minds of what's going on, and that's great insight as you're going out and calling on some of those customers. And I think, you know, we had a bunch of great questions come in. One that I wanted to throw out to either Bill or Kelly is from Amanda, and she says, how do you approach being a printer and wanting to sell digital print but sounding more like you're selling marketing? She says she feels awkward going into places that may have a marketing department when you're kind of seemingly competing with that person. Is that an issue?
Yeah, that's a great question. In fact, we'll tag team on this one, Dave. You ready? All right, here we go. Amanda, you do not need to know the answers. Kelly, what do you need to know?
You just need to know the questions to ask.
Right. And how that works is, you know, you're going to be talking to some people that have got some ego. I know everything. I know all about this. And that's tough to overcome. But when you walk in the door, I wouldn't come in and say, listen, I'm going to be able to solve every single one of your problems. I've got the answers. You've never run their business. Perhaps you've never even run any business. You don't need to know the answers, Amanda. Just learn to ask the qualifying questions. Learn to find out the story behind the printed piece. If it doesn't make sense to you, you haven't asked enough questions. That's good consultative selling. And it's like a little magic pill. You know, you ask these questions, and together you and the customer come up with the solutions.
Excellent. And then we also had two different questions kind of asking you to rehash something you spoke about earlier, which is the three criteria that you're looking for in direct mail or the three things that you look for on mailers. Could you just repeat those for everybody?
It has to have good creative. It has to have an offer of some kind, so some mechanism for responding or, you know, call today to be entered in to win. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've seen a great piece of direct mail, but it's not telling me to do anything. So what's the point of that? It should at least say visit our website to do something. So it has to have great creative. It has to have an offer. And it has to be targeted to the right person. As I mentioned earlier, if you're if you make baby formula and somehow you sent an offer to a 30-year-old single guy, there's something really, really wrong with your data. So those are the things that you're looking for as, again, opportunities and, you know, ways to improve is how good is their data. And this is, again, something I would recommend. Pick up the phone and call InfoUSA and, talk to them about how easy it is to provide data to people. So that if you were to say, you know, to somebody selling furniture, what does your ideal customer look like? And they tell you, you know, think about income, think about where they live, think about do they have kids or not. You can get that info for people very, very easily by working with a third party. So that, again, builds your credibility and makes you more of a consultant and less of a I just put ink on paper kind of person.
Yeah, I think, Kelly, that ties into Gary's question, and he asked, when dealing with a client who does not have a good data file, you know, who can you recommend in terms of some good reputable data mining or list companies? You know, you mentioned InfoGroup. You know, there's obviously other companies out there like USA Data and AccuData and those kind of companies. Are there anybody else that you can think of off the top of your head?
AccuData and InfoUSA are always the people that I've dealt with. And like I said, you just call up their 800 number, and they're going to ask you where you are, and they will put you on the phone with somebody immediately. And that person will be able to give you information instantaneously. I mean, it's really incredible, and I think a lot of us don't know that, and we don't feel comfortable. And I would even go back to, you know, what Amanda said earlier. All this being said is you have to remember that you're just a person having a conversation with another person. We get really intimidated by, oh, that's a VP or that's a chief marketing officer. Just remember, it's just a person. And you're there to help that person and share ideas and you know, do something for them. So it really shouldn't matter what title is in their name. They're just somebody that you're there to help.
And, Bill, here's one that's right up your alley. It says, one other challenge that we face as sales reps is that you spend a huge amount of time putting together a program just to get your regular commission, and it's not really worth their time. How would you answer that? How would you respond to that?
Well, the interesting thing about that, Dave, you know, and I felt the same thing. You know, what are you telling me? I'm going to work this hard, and I'm going to make, what, $60? That doesn't work for me. But the stuff to work, the place to look is in the long range. You know, it's a lot of little orders that add up. And as I said earlier, you're doing a lot of work, but then as time goes on, very quickly, it becomes a matter of a lot of repeat orders that come in automatically. So now you're getting paid, you know, residual almost for that same sale. So it doesn't seem like that much, but you've locked in the customer, they're loyal, and you've got a good steady base of orders coming in. And as Kelly said earlier, you're also going to pick up the commercial work while you're there.
And it's also a case study for you. You use that to sell anecdotally, and you say, this is what I did for ABC Company, and then you find every other company like ABC, and you go sell it to them too.
Yeah, and I think to piggyback on that question, you know, Vicki asks, so, you know, do you bill for your creative insights, and, you know, how do you protect your idea and solutions, you know, from competitors if you're going to be doing that for, you know, and possibly not getting the business?
Kelly, can you bill for creative or you just hope that they buy it?
No, I think, you know what, Vicki, and I think that's a really, really excellent point. And unfortunately, I just have to answer that as business karma. Like, you just have to hope that you have, you know, created a compelling enough reason for them to work with you versus, you know, taking your ideas and shopping it to their favorite vendor. That's going to happen, and we just have to accept that it's going to happen. Because the truth of the matter is, you know, fundamentally, we're not going to hit a home run every time we approach this. You're still only going to be successful a certain amount of the time. So, you know, all the energy that you put into it, sometimes it's going to, you know, sometimes it's not going to pan out for you. But I personally don't really think you can bill for the creative stuff. I mean, unless you've got a designer on staff that's actually doing, you know, creative work for you. This is really your ideas and your insight is how, Vicki, you differentiate yourself from the other order takers out there.
But the second half of that question, Dave, was how do you protect yourself? I believe that, especially with a new customer, you've got to say to the client, listen, I sell ideas, I sell resources. If you like my idea, buy it from me, period.
I think that's fair, absolutely.
Put the rebid out to order. Put the reorder out to bid. But if you like my ideas, you buy my ideas, because I'm going to prove why this is a good idea.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And so I think at this point, I think we got to a lot of these questions. There's a few that are still hanging out there, and I'm going to, you know, try to allow Bill and Kelly to get back to those people who we didn't get to. We can email those people back. We know who you are, and we wanted to thank everybody for your questions. There were some phenomenal questions today. And I wanted to thank again OSEI for sponsoring today. The next webinar that we're going to be doing in this series is called Pre-Call Web Research. Knowing what to say will help you increase sales, and that's going to take place on July 26th. And you will be able to register for that webinar probably starting next Tuesday at www.piworld.com/webinar. And again, I wanted to thank Kelly Malazzi and Bill Farquharson for taking their time today. So once again, thank you very much, and we'll see you at the next Printing Impressions webinar. Have a great day.